you say?
Terry Dixon.
That's me too.
Okay, well, one moment, Mr. Quick Sutton. One moment, and I believe that over Miss Rittenhouse will take care of you. I believe we'll have to check out paperwork.
I'm getting it.
Okay, Mr. Dixon, can you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Terry Dixon, 203-589.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing, and this is concerning the one allegation that's listed on your warrant. I see you signed a form on March 28th that notified you about this hearing today. Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you. Did you hire an attorney today, or will you be representing yourself, sir?
I will be representing myself.
Okay. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. If you look to your right, all the way down at the end of the bench there, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman. To my right here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be your panel chair today. Also with us in the room is Mr. Westby, who you can see now on the camera. He is a community corrections officer with Department of Corrections. So we'll be representing the department and your parole officer in today's hearing. So Mr. Dixon, before we start, I need to swear you and Mr. Westby in. So Mr. Dixon and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do so swear.
I do.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Dixon, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, and then phase two to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, what I'll do is I'll read this allegation to you, and I need you to tell me if it's true or false. And then we'll move beyond that into phase two of your hearing. So we'll start your hearing now with phase one. And that is that you were in violation of condition of supervision number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about February 16th, 2018, as directed on February 16th, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Dixon, is this true or false?
This is true.
Okay, sir. Based on Mr. Dixon's admission, information in the warrant, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Johnson, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Quinones. Mr. Dixon, we can move to phase two of your hearing. And determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us all some background information about your case. So just stay on the line. We'll be right back to talk with you in a minute. Mr. Westby.
On December 28, 2017, Mr. Dixon was released from DOC. He was arrested March 8, 2018 by Tucson PD. No new charges. He was back in DOC custody March 8, 2018, with an adjusted CUCD of April 28, 2019, 20 abscond days. Current conviction, 2012 manslaughter, 5 years. 2012 aggravated assault, 3.5 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in DOC. CUIR score 4-4, mental health score 2, substance abuse score 1. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary violations are significant, with drugs, violence, and rioting noted. After his return to DOC, he received disciplinary on March 16, 2018 for assaulting an inmate. Other arrests, 2009, theft, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2009, false reporting, emergency response, Arizona, juvenile probation. 2009, criminal damage, Arizona, juvenile probation. His community risk score is a G1B2.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. So back to you, Mr. Dixon. It looks like you were you originally went to live at North Emerald, 5325 North Emerald Avenue in Tucson. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and who lives there?
That is my mother's residence.
Okay, that's your mother's. All right. And then you were placed in the 90-day substance abuse program at Behavioral System Southwest, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And it looks like you wound up being discharged for that, for using heroin and methamphetamine, sir. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. You were working, were you, at Tucson Commercial Carpet?
Yes, ma'am.
Was that installing carpet, or what did you do there?
Yes, we would install all of our blue star carpet, carpet tiles, and we would build them.
Okay,
carpet. We would basically build the area, reinstall the carpet.
Okay, and tile, you said too, carpet and tile?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, it looks like you were responsible to submit urine specimens. Let's see, released December 28th, so by January 29th, it says no sample was collected, failed to provide on the 30th, and then the 31st, you were positive for methamphetamine, sir. How had you been using methamphetamine?
I'm going to make sure somebody, I've never had a drug problem as far as meth or heroin until my incarceration. During my incarceration, my last 4 years of my incarceration, I had addicted to opiates and methamphetamine. I was released, as you can see, I've been locked up since I was 18 years old. I was released after my time being within the habit that I've never dealt with in my life. So me being out on the streets for the first time since I was 18 years old with the heroin habit, and it messed me up. I had no way of knowing how to function in society with that habit. I would personally appreciate a drug rehab center to go to. Me being back in prison is not helping me with my drug habits. Since I've been back, I've had a clean way, didn't go to any swagger. But this is where me becoming an addict developed. My last 4 years in prison, I became an addict. Here in prison, I've never once had a problem with heroin in my life. And this is where I'm back at now, where it's around here. I prefer to go to a drug rehab center, 90 days lockdown, anywhere that I can get help with my drug habits. Because right here, there's no help at all.
It's understood.
100 times worse.
Understood, sir, but I do need to tell you that this board has no authority to place you anywhere. We're a separate agency from the Department of Corrections. We're not the same department. So that would be, it would be kind of up to them to place you. So we're unfortunately not able to mandate that.
My family out there have two workers in jail rehab centers available.
You know, okay.
If I get released,
good. Well, there are some good ones out there. You mentioned your family. Who's out there? Your mother and who else?
My mother, my father, and my son.
Oh, you have a son. Okay. How old's your son?
He's 8 years old.
8 years old. Okay. All right. What happened, sir, in the when Mr. Westby was giving us the summary of what's happened since you've been back? It looks like you've got some kind of a disciplinary since you got back for, was it some kind of an assault or what was that? What was
that? They dropped us. They started off as an assault ticket. They dropped it down to first thing.
Oh, okay.
When I came back, they moved me into the cell with individual. We were first thing around. We were wrestling. They came in, cut us up. They started as an assault ticket. They dismissed it. So the horseman ticket because the officer who had seen us and they were messing around.
Okay, he thought you were really fighting, but you were just fooling.
Yes,
okay.
Just,
got it.
That's why it was dropped for the charge of horseman.
But But it also sounds like you had some discipline in the past that involved violence. I heard Mr. Wesby say rioting and violence. What?
Yes. That was towards the beginning of my term. If you look at the dates on it, that was early on in my sentence.
Okay.
I was just coming into prison in Bernie. I was on the closest rest of the yard Tucson complex, and right before I got out, I was able to work my way down to being in custody. So for the last 3.5 years, I was actually doing very much better than my discipline and record.
Good, okay, well, glad to hear that.
Very many programs, classes. I've done college courses in here, I've done work-based education classes in here, I've done parenting classes.
Okay.
Any programs and educational classes I try to make complete.
Good.
And I have certificates for most of these things on my record as well.
What were you doing the day the Tucson PD picked you up? Why did you come to their attention?
One of the residents that I was staying at, he called the police at the residence. He was staying at somebody called the cops because of the disturbance. Well, I happened to be able to enter the door that day. Then I had a warrant.
Okay, and this was at your mother's? This was at your mother's house?
This was at the neighbor's house. After I discounted it, this is where I was staying.
Oh, I see.
That's
okay.
My mother's house.
Got it. Okay. All right. So now, why did you break contact off with your parole officer?
Well, for me, I didn't have a hockey house. He told me I had it, and so 25 days to get over it, and it's asking me if I was violated. There was no way I was going to get it from parking to NCAA, all the others where he was at in that amount of time. I was hanging out there, I called him. He basically told me he was going to send me to Sacramento, and I did block my program. Or send him back to prison. I already lost my job because when they moved me to the halfway house, I would have put in my transportation. At that point in time, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't want to go back to prison. I felt like if I went and met with him, he was going to send me back to prison again. I've been in prison since I was 18 years old. So I wasn't trying to, how do you say it, break the law, go and run, or go back to criminal ways. But I've been out in prison for the last 7.5 years of life. And I felt like I walked into his office that day, I was going back to prison.
Well, the irony is that one of the things you just said is that you were, one of the things he was suggesting was going to SACRAC, and earlier in this conversation, you asked to go to SACRAC.
No, yes, no, I did. But at that time, I was in my mind, I didn't want to do anything. I felt like he was tricking me to go down there. He was like,
okay.
It's an option. Don't tell me it's an option. And I felt like he was using that for me to go to the parole office so he could scout me sitting back in prison.
Okay.
Because he said, it's either Sacramento or prison. Downtown, like, Sacramento or prison. And he wouldn't give me the correct answer when I talked to him as he on the phone because that's what I was doing. Because I called him back and I said, well, what do I do with all my belongings? So I raised with me to Sacramento. He's like, well, I'm not even 100% sure you're going to Sacramento. So from then, that point forward, I felt like I was walking back into prison.
Okay, all right. So when's the last time you used meth or heroin, sir?
When I was on the streets. I've drug tested since I've been here. I've volunteered drug tested since I've been here twice.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions for Mr. Dixon? Okay. All right, Mr. Dixon, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the chance to make a final statement, if you'd like to, just without repeating something you've already told us. Is there anything else we should know?
I have very good intention. I have an 8-year-old son. I appreciate you guys taking that consideration. I'm trying to do it okay. I am not a dangerous society by any means. I'm a young kid that's thrown out on drugs in prison. I'm trying to come back into society the right way. I believe I deserve another chance, and I thank you all for your consideration.
All right, thank you, Mr. Dixon. The board's going to go into discussion. We do all our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. We haven't talked about your case before right now. So if you just remain on the phone and remain silent while the board's in discussion, we'll be back with you shortly. All right, the board's now in discussion. Mr. Dixon is a seems like a sincere individual who indicates he got hooked on drugs in prison, and we know that does happen. He explained his recent discipline, and I believe him, that they were probably just fooling around and they got written up. It's been since reduced. He did abscond for 20 days and again explained why he felt the need to abscond and said he wasn't thinking straight, which I understand since he was using drugs. Because I thought it was ironic that he asked to go to SACRAC earlier in the conversation and then didn't want to go prior to that. But he explained. He has quite another year to do if not reinstated on parole. And he does have an 8-year-old son. So I am, at this point, kind of torn, but I would listen to input of fellow board members.
I'm torn myself.
What's that? You're a little torn yourself?
Yes.
I know. I think he's a sincere individual. I wish he hadn't absconded.
You're absconding, there's just one Boardman being.
Yeah.
I'm not in favor of absconding, but yeah. I'm prepared to listen to other board members.
I'm in the same boat as you, man.
Yeah, I'm right on the. Any other input, Mr. Neal? Any thoughts?
Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty.
Gosh. Was employed.
His task record is a little bit less than desirable.
It is less than desirable.
Yeah.
I guess. And failed the report for. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm going to make a motion then, and that is I move to revoke community supervision. As Mr. Dixon was delinquent, moved to find him delinquent, as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminalizer company. And specifically, I'm going to cite the use of methamphetamine, the failure to complete things as directed his board officer, but most importantly, the 20 days absconding, during which time we didn't know what he was doing. That's my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Johnson. Agreed, but adopted by Mr. Neal. Okay, back to you, Mr. Dixon. We really feel that you're a sincere man and you do want to get rid of the drugs, and we want you to be successful and not use drugs for the sake of yourself and your son and your family. However, with the record that you've given us here with your behavior, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. So I hope that you will continue to stay drug-free in there. I know it's not easy. There are some programs. There's some self-study stuff you can do. So please do talk to your CO3 and get involved in what you can. I know for a fact there's AA and NA available to you, and really encourage you to participate in that, sir. Thank you very much for participating and being so respectful and pleasant with the board. We do appreciate that. And your hearing is concluded, sir. If you could give the phone back to the CO3, we'd appreciate it. Just lay it down rather than hang up.